Old Testament reading for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year, with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at feasts, who devour windows, houses, for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they have all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Have you ever gotten a gift over your life that really stood out in your memory as something you can never forget and made that time very special? When I was a kid, probably about 8 years old, the Planet of the Apes was a big thing. Well, at least it was a big thing in my house because I had all their action figures. They're not little dolls, they're action figures. And I had them all. And for Christmas one year, I got a catapult, I got a house, I got a horse, I got everything for my apes that any boy could ever possibly want, and it made Christmas. It's a Christmas I will always remember. Do you ever have a gift that has a special meaning to you? Here's a question. Do you ever have a gift that impresses God, gets his attention? Today's theme is consider the greatest giver judges our gifts. Days before Jesus died, he was sitting in the temple watching the people walk by. And he was watching for a purpose. Now, we would wonder, the people walk by, who are they? Where do they come from? What do they do for a living? But Jesus already knew the answer to all these questions. He was looking into their hearts to see what was going on there, because he knows all things. Jesus noticed physically two things. The rich put in large sums of money. Now, we might go, wow, there's a real believer if we saw that. But the poor widow gives two small copper coins, which Mark denotes as being worth about a penny. And it moved Jesus to praise this woman. Now, how do you figure that one? Remember, Jesus looks into the heart. He sees the motivation. We would say she doesn't have a lot to be thankful for, because she doesn't have much. Her husband had died and left her with very little, if anything at all. But it drove her to give an offering to the Lord. But she also was a good Jew. She had heard God's word throughout the Old Testament. She knew the words of Isaiah 43:21, "The people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." The Jews, Israel, was the only one that God revealed his secrets to. And the secret was he was going to send his Savior to die for everyone's sins. Jesus saw her heart. She loved God and was waiting for the substitute. That's how people in the Old Testament were saved, is they believed the Savior was coming. They kept the law in response to what God had done for them. She was assured she was a child of God, and out of thanks she gave her offering. Being a widow, of course, means she had no husband. She had no one to put bread on the table. And Mark notes that she put two small coins in worth a penny. Why the extra detail? Why the detail of two coins and one penny? Because with two, we could say she should have kept one coin for herself and possibly one coin for the temple. After this, she'd have to go out and earn more. Probably she knew that God would provide. Jesus saw this and was duly impressed. You know, it's easy to put money in an offering plate. It's easy to drive grandkids or kids to school. There's thousands of people who do standard, everyday things all the time. But God wants to see these things done for love for him, both willingly and trusting. Do you do what you do around the church because somebody has to do it? Hopefully we volunteer out of our love for the Lord. Look at Jesus going to the cross. How many times do you ever read in the Gospels where Jesus says, "Why do I have to do this?" Or, "Why, I got better things to do. That Friday, I got dinner plans with Mary and Martha." No, you never read about him that way. Yes, he said to his Father, "If it is your will, take this cup from me." But he was not whining when he did it. He went to the cross with an unconditional love for us. It took trust in his Father that the sacrifice would be accepted. Attitude is important, but faith is all important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't mean, though, we can go out and do whatever we want. Catholics and other denominations are very critical of Lutherans because we say we do the good works we do in response to what he's done. They said, well, if you don't have to do something to make up for your sin, it's a free license to sin all you want. No, we know it's in response to what he's done for us. Take today's text. Jesus taught whoever believes in him has eternal life. He wasn't as concerned about the widow's attitude, but about her faith and the works that came from that faith. God never gives rules like, "Pray if you can spare the time," or "Listen to my word if you can fit it into your schedule." The whole idea is to have more trust and more love for the Lord at all times. God gives us, let's call them, rules for what we bring to Him. We give our time, we give our treasure, we give our talent. We give of the first fruits. We volunteer or come to church, not if there's nothing else going on in the calendar. Sorry, this drives me nuts. Invite somebody to church, and I got to check my calendar to see if there's anything else on it. That's messed up thinking. It should be church is on the calendar, and everything else fits around that, but church is the immovable block on the calendar. Do you remember when churches used to publish who gave what amount? It was done, yeah. It was done. It was the church scandal sheet. When they were published, you looked up your name and checked, and then you looked up so-and-so and checked, they're way down on the list. When they started having discussions whether or not to get rid of that, the argument against getting rid of it was there would be no motivation for people to give or do anything. We volunteer. We do things because He's richly blessed us, not out of the sense of guilt. The result of the gospel message that Jesus brought us heaven itself. He rose from the dead, and at our baptism, He planted a new nature within us. When God plants the Holy Spirit into our hearts, which has dominion over our sinful nature, this frees us to give to God regularly, proportionately, and joyfully, and to give Him the first fruits of what we have. It leads us to say, God, what do you want me to do? God tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:10, now He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous on every occasion. God promises us that He will provide us with every need. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.